Welcome everyone. Can you hear our rivers? It's a two-year European exchanges project between the Scheldt Youth Parliament and the Sava Youth Parliament, aiming to assist the growth and the consequences of climate change on the hydrographic basins of these two rivers and their management. A unique opportunity to empower young people living in the river basins. Also, allow active participation in the process of developing environmental policies and make the voices of young people heard. An opportunity to take an active part in a water protection, management of a cross-border river, to debate, to meet experts, political decision makers, also to practice their English and develop their creativity. This series of interviews are created by youth, mainly for youth, also for citizens and decision makers interested in the theme of water management. 20 young people of these 7 European countries were given the opportunity to participate in this first exchange. 20 other youths had the chance to take a part in the second exchange in Croatia. This podcast will provide possibility for those who didn't participate to listen experts, guides, conversation with young people. Through this podcast, we address a certain issue related to the management of Scheldt River. Also, we hope to inspire young people and become actively involved in a river environmental protection.
The Scheldt Youth Parliament is made up of 20 students, Belgian, French and Dutch. They all live on the banks of rivers and have a history related to ecology or agriculture around the river, which makes them concerned by environmental issues. The Can You Hear Our Rivers project included a one-week trip in September 2022, organized by Laurence Vaner and accompanied by Anna Marinic. Here we will address the causes and consequences of climate change on activities around the Scheldt River.
Can you hear our rivers? Let's now observe the change in biodiversity. A few monitoring and assessment tools for the Scheldt estuary with Dr. Wout van Eckepol from Ghent University, interviewed by Laurence Vaner and News.
Do you approach municipalities and also politicians if you see there is a big problem in chemicals problem, for example?
It is. The data is being used for redesigning management, for updating management. Also, the topic, the assignment, comes from the government. So we're working for the government to work with this data, to put it together, to analyze it, to evaluate it, put it in a report, and then they know where the issues are and where they have to do some extra management. So it's really directly communicating back to the government so they can update their management to really see where the focus points are. So after analyzing everything that's happening, we have to summarize it into a summary for managers, in which we really indicate these are the attention points, this is really what we should focus on, and that they know what to do with it.
Very good. At least it's fast.
There is still a lot of management, really a lot of levels that it has to go through before some action is really being taken. Let's, for example, the PFOS contamination that was happening in the Scheldt. It was visible already in a previous report, but before it's really at the higher levels.
Sorry, this one is with the beet problem in France, where the industry of beet, betterave.
They produced a lot of waste that went into the river, but it was mostly organic waste, if I recall it. So it dropped the oxygen, but that was okay. No, these were
chemicals. But a lot of fish were
It was a very short peak of organic pollution. Mm-hmm. But that's mostly affecting the oxygen, and your system will bounce back because it's just the oxygen. We're now talking about the PFOS, and that's like chemicals that really attach to your substrates and don't degrade. Mm-hmm. So they end up in your organisms, they go through your food chain, and ultimately probably end up on our plate. So we're in a certain way also exposed to it, and we don't really know what the long-term effects are. There are signs of potential causing cancer. So we have to be very careful with that. And that's something that recently came to the surface, like figuratively speaking, because it was still in the water column in the sediment, that politicians were not really aware of it, but it was already showing up in earlier reports from the data itself. So that indicates whatever we're doing, there are signals going back to higher levels of management, but before it really results in active changes into policy and management, that's some time, because mm-hmm. we have a very complicated system, as you could see, all the stakeholders, a lot of parties being involved, and then it becomes a bit difficult to translate everything directly to the right management yeah. with all the people in all mm-hmm. Institutes involved. So that's a bit what we already observed. There are signals, so they are aware of it, but the action that corresponds to it is sometimes a bit delayed.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, take time.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Japanese knotweed is a species native to Asia. It's an invasive plant and disrupts ecosystems. It impoverishes plants and animal biodiversity, thus disturbing the balance of ecosystem. These invasive plants even go so far as to take the place of other plants, since it grows more quickly than them. Knotweed is reducing population of amphibians, reptiles and birds, as well as many mammals in riparian habitats. And its presence indicates soil rich in heavy metals. Let's now listen to the exchanges between Yos and Dr. Marianne Forio from the Ghent University.
In the Western Europe, it's especially because of all the channels. For example, the Danube and the Rhine are connected with one another to a channel. And invasive species from the Danube enter the waters here and the other way around.
To the cross.
The federal part of the government has plans on that, especially Japanese knotweed, which is a big, big problem that's been...
And the ones with the big leaves?
Yeah, the...
Yeah, we
look a bit like bamboo. Big leaves, and that's
too.
Been a big, big problem, especially around the smaller river basins.
Yeah, because when we wait at the boat,
yeah, they spread through water.
A lot
yeah.
of them.
The skelt in the past, since I grew up, the skelt and then the smaller river basins of the skelt has been. I see the Japanese knotweed rising. Yeah, it's popping up everywhere.
Let's listen now to Dr. Long Tuan Ho about greenhouse gases.
That I still had and that popped up was, if you look at restoration of the areas, the river tributes, how far do you look back? Because like the skelt has been, the skelt is not the skelt as it was in the Middle Ages. No. Where do you draw a line where do you look at that point?
I think currently we've come to a point for at science level that we realize we don't necessarily have to revert back to what it was, but optimize it into how can we bring all these functionalities together, because we're coming from it was really a natural area and optimized for natural processes. How can we mix that with also industrial processes, with societal activities, into getting a win-win situation for all different levels? And I feel like we're having quite some restoration projects and some experience at those levels to implement some new suggestions. But there as well, it's still a bit trial and error. We try new things. Sometimes they fail, sometimes they work. So there is a growing basis that we can use to restore and reinvent the natural system. I feel like that's a bit from my side how I see and experience it. I don't know if you want to add to that.
I think it will be restored based on the targets of the EU, like the Water Framework Directive and so on.
Combination of the different functionalities, how can we bring it all back? How can we provide, like going through this checklist, like can we check all the boxes at natural level, at societal level, at economic level, and thereby complementing a bit what's been asked by European level, by local levels, in order to optimize our system.
But of course the EU has legal framework and it has a target, so we have to comply with those.
I have a question for you. On one of your graphs, I was surprised to see greenhouse gases industry. It was not so high. It was nature, then industry, then agriculture. No, I thought industry, it would be much at the end, like they have a very bad effect for greenhouse gases. Is it because they have a treatment or of their waste before?
I think it's also the data from one particular case study in Cuenca river basins where we don't have sectors,
yes,
so they have small scale I think it's also often located from household areas,
yes,
so
yeah.
That's why it is often close to the sea. That is maybe the reason why we have quite low emissions from these industrial areas. But it be a different story in scales when we have a really scale industrials at Antwerp.
Yeah, for sure.
That can.
Yeah, I think it also depends a bit on the type of industry that you have.
Yes.
If you're talking about greenhouse gases, talking a lot about carbon dioxide, methane, very carbon based.
Yeah.
If you have an industry that is not carbon oriented and it discharges, then you're not going to get these kind of greenhouse gases that appear. So I think that might also contribute a little bit to it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know the study site in Cuenca that year.
It's relatively small real basins. So they don't have that large scale industry.
Yeah.
So
okay.
Maybe the reason.
Okay, that's why. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Let's give the floor to Mr. Leon Dane, General Secretary of the International Scale Commission.
I just come back from a five government meeting in Liège on high water and low water. So 1 year ago, we had big floods in Western Germany and Wallonia, and also in Holland, but not no casualties in Holland, I think. And now we're there with low water. We have the low water issue. So that's also a big problem we need to deal with for the moment. In the last 20 years that they need a license to pump up, but all the historical pumps there are, who knows?
Oh, so the older pumps are not registered?
They're not registered.
Oh, okay.
They were asked to register, but hardly anyone did this.
Okay.
Because they knew already why governments and administrations were asking them to register, so they didn't do it.
You can't find every pump in the country just by going to it.
Sorry?
You can't find every pump in the country.
Yeah.
Like
you go there
in person and force them to register.
Yeah. But we don't have a register. The administrations don't have a register. And we wouldn't keep one. We don't have that mandate. The only mandate we have is to supervise. Yeah.
Okay. That's also why the treaty is important, so that you get the mandate in order to supervise.
Well, the treaty is important so that the three countries can manage the groundwater reserve. We would only do the coordination part.
Yeah.
We would say, three countries, that you make your objective or not. We don't have an executable power, and we don't have a policing power.
No.
Okay?
No.
Sorry.
Okay.
We can do blame and shame.
Yeah.
Okay. That's all. Or shame and blame. Yeah, inform the general public about the challenges. Now the governments will do that. What we do is we collect all their information programs and share them with the other governments so that they can pick up good ideas. And that's useful. Yeah, don't spend money only once on a big communication campaign then. Safeguard the coastal areas, that's a big issue. Also, because there is no agreement yet as to the level of the rise of the seawater, the sea level water, between the governments, the rise by 2050. The old plans talk about 0.5 meter, 50 centimeters. The latest calculations speak about 1.5 meters. Now, especially Holland is very worried about this, because they are the low countries. They are at -6, I think, on the lowest level.
Yeah.
-9 even.
Or even -9, So if they will build their walls, Flanders will build an 80, they are at 80 centimeters now, so they will build a wall. But if France doesn't do anything, they say, well, let northern France drown, that's not a big issue. The water will go back at the back of the wall, back into Holland.
Yeah.
Will not stop.
So everyone has to cooperate.
Yeah, everybody has to raise it more or less to the same level. Good. You probably know what the UN climate change reports tell you.
Yeah.
every new report I see is worse than the previous. And I see one every month. I had one which was better, and that was because there was a calculation error in the previous one.
A little moment of joy.
It's turning. No. Calculation error. That's not good. So, the 6-yearly plans are evaluated twice in 3-yearly evaluation reports. So the previous we found, which we hadn't seen since more than 120 years in the Scheldt. So we were happy to know it was back. We were very sad because the way we found out was because the fish was dead. We didn't have it in our poles. They do that by pulling cube meter of water, counting which fish they find, and then extrapolating. It's a very old-fashioned method of doing so, but yeah, that's how they were. All the actions that we now take, and that's very difficult to make the governments accept, must be measurable and must have positive effect. Cannot have 5 positive effects and 1 negative. They must all have. The main parameters like oxygen, organic matter, nutrients are much better, so that's good. It's a big challenge to keep it, especially now. Low water means, again, higher pollution. The less volume you have, same pollution, it's there. So we are pretty much on our way to make it, but as you can see from this map, there is very little green. The green means, it means we will get there by 27. There's no issue today to get there, and some will be there before. The red means, whew, with the current plans, with the current money, with the current resources, we cannot make it. So this is very important for the ministers to know, that they can undertake actions, because the Water Framework Directive is a law. You can go to a court in Rissingen, you can go to a court in Zagreb or wherever you're from. Sorry? Belgrade, you can.
Zagreb.
It must be EU. You can go to any court as an individual and say, my governor must do something about this. And that's going to happen. That's happening now more and more. Is that the good way to manage? No. But if there's no other way, that's one way to manage. Okay? This is the flood risk map, which essentially means that most of my area is at flood risk. That's normal because we are the low countries and water comes from high to low. Now, I don't know whether you saw a Sigma plan in action. Probably not, because it's a bit too far off. Some of the locals, some of the aboriginals might have seen it. Especially the Flemish government, following disasters in the 70s, created a plan whereby they said, we're going to reserve potential ground for inundations. And with a very simple yet ingenious system, the water can enter without any automation, without any electricity involved, because the first thing you don't have in an inundation is electricity. And communication, and everything is out. So the water enters when it's high water. Whoop, the water goes over a dike, enters when it's low water. When this water is lower, then there's a gate here, and the water returns to the river. It's very spectacular to see. A second and nice, very nice side effect is that by doing that, you restore a totally lost ecosystem. By water getting into the rivers, into these areas and out of that areas, because the Scheldt until Ghent is a tidal river, so it goes up and down. Difference can be 4 to 6 meters, which is quite exceptional. You don't have that with most of the other rivers. Okay? They were trying to build over 3 axes: prevention, protection, and preparedness. You probably heard of green, blue, and gray measures. And because those are the qualifications the United Nations use. So gray measures are purely interventionist. So for instance, building a dam is a gray measure. You pull in concrete and you keep the water on the other side. That helps a little bit, but not long. Blue measures is you help the river to get to its normal state, like those flooding areas are blue measures. And the green measures is promoting the ecosystem. Just say, river, take whatever you want to take back and do your thing. And more people are now aware that the river is not only needing that, but if you give that back to the river gives a lot of services back to you. So if you would make the end balance in an economical business model, you'd probably be better off going into a fully ecosystem site. Okay?
Well, it was the first part of this podcast. A big thanks to Erasmus Plus, Artois Picardie Water Agency, International Sava River Commission, Good Planet, Anna Marinic, and Laurence Vanner. See you soon for the next part of the adventure.